Hey everybody, let's go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully. And you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why do you put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. So remember, the context of this passage is this section of scripture where Jesus has come and cleansed the temple. The authorities have asked him where he gets off, where his authority comes from. And Jesus gave those three parables to respond to that, and those parables indicted them as saying, "I am God's authority, the Father has sent me, and you've rejected me." And now we enter a section where different groups of people will answer a series of questions. There's three questions that these people will ask him, and then in the end, Jesus turns the table on them and asks them a question. And it's worth pointing out what these questions are, because in many ways, these are some of the most important questions of life. And so here in this section, Jesus is giving his definitive answers to these questions. So this question that we're going to look at today is, where are the limits of the power of the government and how far do they go? The next section will be a question about the resurrection. So it's a question about what happens after we die. The third question is a question about the law. What is the greatest commandment? What are the things that are most important for humans to do? And then finally, when Jesus asks a question of those who've been questioning him, he asks essentially the Messiah, who is he, and will he be David's Lord? So it's ultimately back to a question about who he is and back to a question about his authority, going all the way back to their challenging him and saying, "Why do you think you can do these things in the temple?" So, of course, the text tells us that they're trying to trap Jesus. They're trying to trick him. They're not asking an honest question. And specifically, they're trying to get him to commit himself to one of two options. And the two options that they're giving him a dilemma. If he takes one or other option, we don't pay the taxes or we do pay the taxes, Jesus will either offend the Romans, who are the authorities in Palestine, or Jesus will offend a lot of religious conservatives who think paying the tax to Caesar is either idolatrous or compromising with a colonial occupying force. And so again, they're trying to catch him, and they flatter him clearly. And I think what's wonderful about this scene is, to me, it illustrates just how brilliant, how smart Jesus was. He was not just good, but he was smart. All right, he was very, very shrewd. As it says, as Jesus commended to his disciples, "You should be as shrewd and crafty as serpents, but as innocent as doves." And I think Jesus perfectly illustrates that here, because he sees what they're doing as dishonest and as an intentional trap. So the first thing he does is says, "Well, show me a coin." And I think there's many things that are clever here. First, let me just point out that these coins would have had an image of Tiberius, and on the other side, an image of his mother. And the inscription said, "Tiberius Caesar, worshipful son of the divine Augustus." So it was an graven image, and it also made a human, Augustus, a god. So in many ways, it was an idolatrous item. So Jesus says, "Show me a coin." Number one, it shows that when he gets the coin, he's not over scrupulous. He's not like, "Oh, I can't touch it because it's idolatrous." I think he certainly had problems with that, but he wasn't over scrupulous. But the other thing is he exposes their hypocrisy because somebody had a coin to be able to give it to him, and he didn't have it. So he kind of exposes their hypocrisy in that. But then he turns the table on their question and says, okay, well, let me answer your question. Whose image is on here and whose inscription is on here? It's worth pointing out that the word for image is the Greek word icon. That is the same word that is used in the Greek translation of Genesis when it says that God made man in his icon, in his image. So this is a very significant word theologically and biblically. Noting that Jesus, well, first of all, that mankind is the only legitimate image of God that God ever intended, and that Jesus came to restore the tarnished image on mankind, right? He came to, first of all, be the first human to perfectly image God, and secondly, through his work in his death and in his resurrection and the gift of the Holy Spirit, he wants his people to be those restored images of God in the earth. So again, it's a very important word. So he asks about, well, look, there's somebody's image on here, so clearly it belongs to them. So in his answer to their question, he says, well, render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar and render to God what belongs to God. Now, I want to stress, though, that Jesus says render, and that is a different word. When they say, should we give this tax? Jesus uses a different verb than give. The verb that he uses means to give back or to return. And the point here is that you give something back to somebody because it belongs to them. So Jesus uses a different word than they offer. He doesn't accept the way they pose the question. And basically, Jesus is saying, listen, your obligation is to give everybody what they are owed, give everybody what belongs to them. I think it's interesting to note that this is the classical definition of justice. Plato himself said that the definition of justice is returning to each person or giving to each person what is due to them. So there's a couple of things going on in this statement that I think are worth noting. Jesus refuses this sort of false dilemma, either we pay the tax or we don't. First, he gives respect to the state. Okay, he says, hey, in effect, taxes are legitimate. There are things that we owe secular political institutions, and you should give those things to them. Taxes are legitimate. I think this is very much consonant with what the prophet Jeremiah said and what all the prophets really said from the time of Jeremiah on. That is, you should work and pray for the peace of the city or the nation or the state in which you find yourself. So Jesus is acknowledging a legitimate place for the state and the legitimacy of taxes. But it is a respect that is framed in the context of the other side of it, give back to God what belongs to God. I'm God's image, therefore I belong to him, therefore I owe him my entire life. All right, we owe ourselves to God. And so this is very important. Jesus recognizes the state, but he also limits the state because he says any time the state demands more than what is due to it, it is putting itself in the position of God. And so Jesus' statement of render unto God what belongs to God is a corrective to governments or states demanding too much, all right? And again, the primary thing Jesus is doing in this context is, hey, you guys who are asking me this question, you have the image of God on you and you owe him your entire lives and you are not rendering or giving back to him what you owe to him. So this is a beautiful answer because it does so many things. It gives us a politics that combines submission and resistance. Right? And there's many places that this comes up in Scripture. Now, it doesn't answer all our questions, like when does the state overstep its boundaries? But it recognizes that states do overstep their boundaries. And the last century is an example of so many states putting themselves in the position of God and demanding loyalty that was way beyond what Jesus, I think, lays down here. But again, more importantly, it is a call to us to recognize that we are made in the image of God. We are made to be image bearers. And the way we carry that out is offering ourselves to God. And as we do, He restores the tarnished image in us so that we can image God everywhere. And then just at the end here, I think it's worth noting, I love at the end, it says that they marveled. And I like maybe a paraphrase, like they were dumbfounded, their jaws were in their lap, they were gobsmacked by Jesus' response because they realize they were about to trap Him and He totally turned the tables on them and called them to account before God. So again, we worship Jesus for many reasons, but one reason I want to draw our attention to was how smart He was, how brilliant He was, and how He understood how these people were working, and He called them to account before God. All right, Lord bless you.